We trust that as we meet today, we'll know something of the Lord's blessing and His grace. We'll read some verses from Ruth chapter 2, verse 8. And in this chapter, Ruth is in the field of Boaz. She's gleaning and working in the field of this man. And we read in verse 8, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and the full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she had risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean, even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." Amen. We trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. We'll bow together just for a word of prayer. I'd like to leave before you a few words that are found in verse 19. "Where hast thou gleaned today?" We'll come in a moment to the ministry of God's word, but let's bow just shortly in a time of prayer. Our Father, we rejoice this day that we're found in the house of the Lord. What a joy it is to be able to gather with those of like precious faith around the Word, the open Word of God. What a privilege we have in our land and nation to live in times of civil and religious liberty. And we thank Thee, O God, for Thy mercy in giving us Thy holy Word. Lord, we thank Thee for the temporal blessings as well as we're reminded in this harvest service. But, O God, we bless Thee today for all that we have and are spiritually in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come and bless our souls in this morning meeting. O God, turn our eyes upon Jesus. May we think upon the things of God for a moment or two. And may the word come with freshness and blessing and praise to our hearts and our souls. And we'll give to thee the honor and all of the glory. in the holy and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It used to be the custom in certain parts of England that during the harvest season, a bell would sound at a certain part of the day. And then towards evening, the bell would sound again. And the purpose for the ringing of the bell, perhaps a parish church bell or something similar, the purpose for the ringing of the bell, firstly, was to inform the poor and the downtrodden people of the district when they could go into the harvest field and glean, gather the scraps of grain that had been left after the harvesters had done their work. And then the second bell would ring later on in the day to instruct the gatherers that gleaning was over for that day. And the following day, after the next field had been harvested, then, of course, the bell would ring again. Gleaning, what remained after the reapers had done their work, was society's way generations ago of providing some corn or wheat or grain for those who had no field of their own. And therefore, they had no other means of procuring the vital income which would provide them with food during the long, cold winter seasons. Therefore, what they gleaned in the harvest was vital to the well-being of the poor and of their families. It's hard for you and I in these affluent days, or more affluent days, to remember or to consider or to be able to grasp how a people could be so hard up and poor that gleaning a few handfuls of corn during the days of harvest was so vital to their livelihood. But that's how it used to be. The gleaning and the harvest was vital to so many. Tens of thousands of people across the land were dependent upon gleaning for their well-being in the winter time. In gleaning the harvest, and in gleaning what the reapers had left behind, those people in early days in England, though they didn't realize it, were following a biblical principle and a biblical tradition. Because gleaning in the harvest was something that the Lord had introduced in Israel many hundreds of years before. In Deuteronomy chapter 24 and the verse 19, for example, the Lord had instructed the Israelites that when they were gathering their harvest, they weren't to cut down that which was in the corner of the field. It was to be left for the gleaners. The Lord further said in Deuteronomy 24 that if a sheaf fell off the back of the cart or whatever it was being carried on, they weren't allowed to go back and lift that sheaf. It was for the gleaners. And in that Deuteronomy 24 and the verse 22, the Lord said that the forgotten sheaf, the corners of the field, any of the grain that fell upon the ground was to be for the stranger and the fatherless and the widow. The less well off in society, the stranger, the fatherless and the widow were permitted in Israel to go into the field and glean. Ruth fitted into each of those categories. If you read verse 11 of Ruth chapter 2, you will read some words of Boaz which indicates the right that Ruth had to be in Boaz's field gleaning. She only had to fit into one of the categories I've mentioned, but in effect, Ruth was triply right in going into Boaz's field. Because in verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband." Ruth was a widow. Her husband Mahlon had died in the country of Moab. Ruth was also, as far as Israel was concerned, fatherless, Because Boaz went on to say in verse 11, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother. So that as far as the land of Israel was concerned, Ruth was not only a widow, she was also fatherless. She was likewise a stranger in the land of Israel as well, because Boaz went on to say how she had left her father and her mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. She was also a stranger. And therefore, Ruth, when she went out to glean in the fields of Bethlehem, she had every right to go there. The customs, the traditions of the land of Israel provided for her. The law of the Lord likewise commanded that she should be permitted to go into this field and glean. When she returns home after the first day's gleaning, picking up after the harvesters what they had left, the little scrapes of corn and the little bits and pieces that she could around the field. When she returned home after that first day's gleaning, her mother-in-law is anxious to hear how she fared. And in verse 19, she speaks the words of our text. Her mother-in-law said to Ruth, where hast thou gleaned today? And that phrase makes up our text this morning. Because you and I, likewise, in this world, we who are the people of God, we are called into the Lord's field to labor from the dawning till the setting of the sun. Those hymns that we were singing a little earlier in the meeting are most appropriate for the message that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this morning's service. Because you and I, who are the people of God, we are called as workers for the Lord, into the Lord's vineyard and into the Lord's field. In the parable of the tares, which I hope to look at tonight with you, the Saviour said that the field is the world. And you and I, as God's people, are saved in order to do something. We are saved to labour in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are labourers in the field. Among our family, our friends, our acquaintances, we are called to witness for Christ, a good witness and a good confession and testimony to the glory of the Lord's great name. There's one or two things I'd like to say to you this morning about Ruth the gleaner in the field of Boaz. Firstly, I'd like to mention to you a word or two in relation to her willingness. Because Ruth, from her words and from her manner and from her reaction to the opportunity to go and glean in the field, didn't have to be driven into that field to glean. She went willingly. She went willingly. And therefore we can say, in relation to this young girl, she's in the field of Boaz, she's there willingly. Whenever I was at school, the best part of school for me was the summer holidays. Those 2 months, almost, when, of course, we didn't have to go. But I never liked the end of the summer holidays at the school time, because it was then that we had to go to the potato gathering. And, of course, in those days, now I'm going back to, I was a boy, oh, maybe 20 years ago or maybe a bit more. In those days, they hadn't machinery to gather the spuds the way they might have now. You had to go into the field, and the farmer went up, he dug out with a machine the potatoes that was scattered across a couple of yards, I suppose, or a couple of metres of field. And, of course, a number then were employed to bend down and gather those potatoes, get them into the bags or into a box and do the work. I never liked the potato gathering. In fact, I grew to hate it over the years. And for many, many years, potato gathering, you did it the last week or the last couple of weeks of the summer holidays, And then every Saturday for a number of weeks, once you had started the school again, September and October, the potato gathering. I wasn't a very willing worker. Many a time I went out with a bit of a grump and a hump, but I was told I was going. I wasn't a willing worker in the field, but we can't say the same of Ruth. She did it willingly. She began her work immediately. Therein is her desire, and we can see her going into the field, because we read in chapter 1 and the verse 22 of the book of Ruth that Ruth and Naomi came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. So that she arrives in Bethlehem, she's a stranger in the country, at the beginning of the barley harvest. She might have said, oh, I'll not bother gleaning this year. I'll take a year to settle down. Or she might have said, I'll take a week or two to get comfortable in the house. Maybe I'll look around for some other sort of job. If nothing turns up, well, I can always go gleaning. And yet, that was not her attitude. Because we discover her in verse 2 of Ruth chapter 2, and she has a desire to get into the field. She wants to do something. And she says to her mother-in-law, let me now go to the field. She wants to find employment. She's a stranger. She's just come into the area. And yet she wants to get involved in doing something. For Boaz, of course, who is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kinsman redeemer. And you know, in the congregation of the Lord's people, any congregation of the Lord's people, there's always something for you to do if you're a child of God. There's always something for you to do. If you are willing to find some sort of employment for the Lord, you will always find it. There's no greater employment that a child of God could be involved in than to be involved in telling others of the Lord Jesus Christ, in being employed in the field, gleaning in the Lord's harvest. It might be in the Sunday school or the children's meeting. It might be on the doors, giving out an invitation. It might be speaking over the garden fence to your neighbour and telling them of Christ. And I hope you speak to your neighbour. I hope you're in speaking terms with your neighbour, so that you can share the gospel with them. And you can tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ. It might be in supplicating the throne of grace on behalf of the work of God. Never say that there's nothing for you to do in and around the congregation here. Because there's always something for everyone to be employed in, as far as the work of God is concerned. And you know, the greatest enjoyment in the Lord's work is when we do it willingly. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land, the Lord said in Isaiah 1 and the verse 19. Not just obedience to the call of God, to the opportunities in the gospel. No, if you've got to be dragged along to pray, there'll be no enjoyment in it. If you've got to be dragged along and forced into being a Sunday school teacher or a member of the children's work team, there'll be no enjoyment in it for you. Oh, let us as God's people be willing in the field. Whatever the Lord has called you to do, do it willingly. Do it to the glory of the Lord's name. Do it for the honour of our Lord Jesus Christ. Her willingness is seen not only in her desire, it's seen likewise in her diligence. Because verse 17 indicates that she worked the whole day. She gleaned in the field until even. The word is sunset or night time. She didn't look for part-time employment. She might have sought to finish early. She might have said, oh, I've got to get home to Naomi and look after her. But no, Ruth knew that if she was going to glean enough for her and for Naomi, she had to work the whole day.
You see, the harvest time is short. The harvest time is short.
In Israel, the harvest normally commenced at the feast of the Passover and it ended at Pentecost 50 days later. And therefore, the time in the field was short. She only had a few weeks in which to gather the grain to keep them going. There wasn't much time for the ingathering. The season would soon be over and she knew that she had no time to waste. I often think about Rebecca. And when the servant of Abraham, Eliezer, came to Rebecca, she offered to water his camels. And the Bible tells us that in Genesis chapter 24 that she ran, she hasted, verse 20. She hasted in order to ensure that the camels were watered. Why? Because the night was coming. He came at the time of the evening, the Bible says. And you and I have friends. And we have neighbors. And we have people all around us who are lost in sin. And if you don't tell them, who will? If you don't share Christ and the gospel with them, who will tell them? You see, you have a field in which to glean. There's people that only you can reach with the gospel. Our brother won't be talking to them the way that you are. They maybe never meet them. But you have a circle of friends. You have a field in which you can glean. That's your work. That's why you're here upon this earth at this time. Whenever your work on earth is done, the Lord will take you away. But until that time, while God keeps his people upon earth, that means that there's something for us to do. I visit an old lady. She's coming up to her 98th birthday. And she gets a bit down at times. Every time I go into her, she begins to cry. And she says, I wish the Lord would take me home. Because her husband died a long time ago. Some of her children have died and predeceased her. And she says, I wish the Lord would take me home. And yet I always say to her, well, Minnie, the Lord has you here because he still has something for you to do. And isn't that the case? You see, we're here to be workers. We're here to be witnesses. We're here to spread the message of the gospel. She also was willing in the duration in which she worked, because verse 23 says that she worked in the field until the end of the barley harvest. She worked in the field until the end of the barley harvest. There's a consistency about her. She kept going. No, she was living in a day of small things. She was only picking up handfuls. And yet Ruth still worked, even though it was a day of little reward. She kept at it, a handful here, a handful there. Gradually the amount began to pile up. And when she went home at the end of the day, she had something to show for her labours. It wasn't very much. She was able to present an ephah of barley, the Bible tells us. And I'm told that's the equivalent to at least 10 days' food for an adult. Just a handful here, a handful there. Oh, let us, in the work of the Lord, let us never despise the day of small things. Let us never grow weary in this great work in which we're involved. We live in days of discouragement. It would be easy to look around us and lament and say, oh, we don't see the things accomplished for the Lord that we did in the history, past history of our church when it was first formed. But let us never despise the day of small things. Though the work that you are called to as far as the Lord's service is concerned is small, though your situation might be difficult, don't despise the day of small things, because the Lord has said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Keep laboring. Keep working. Keep in the field. Don't go to any other field. Because that's what verse 8 said. Boaz said unto Ruth, go not glean in another field. Sometimes when things are difficult, the temptation is, oh, we'll up our tent pegs, we'll go somewhere else. But no, maybe the Lord would say to you today, don't go to any other field to glean. Stick where you're at. Stay where you are. Put your back into the work here. Then there's the witness of the worker very quickly, her willingness, her witness. Gleaning was a despised sort of occupation because those who engaged in gleaning were, in a sense, beggars. They hadn't a field of their own. They were admitting in going into somebody else's field to glean that they had nothing of themselves. It wasn't the sort of occupation that anybody ever dreamed doing. There's many children in the meeting this morning. And I'm sure there's boys here and they grow up, they desire when they get older to be a fireman or a soldier or a farmer or a footballer, maybe even a minister. Some of the girls, maybe when they grow up, they would like to be a nurse or a hairdresser or, God forbid, even a model. But nobody, when they were growing up in Israel, dreamed of being a gleaner. Because to glean in the field was a despised occupation. It was a despised work in which they were involved. The gleaner literally indicated that they had nothing of themselves. And you know, every time you do something for the Lord, that's what you are in effect saying. You're witnessing to the fact that we have no continuing city down here. We are dwellers on earth. Yes, we are pilgrims on earth. Heading to eternity, we are residents of another place. And every time that you tell someone of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel or speak a word of testimony to them, you are in effect saying that we have no continuing city down here. We don't have a part of this world as such. We could speak also about the provision of this witness, not only her pilgrimage, but also her provision as well, because her own spiritual, her own survival physically, we're speaking about Ruth, her own physical survival and the sake of Naomi, it was vital that Ruth went out into the field to glean. How else would they live? It was their only lifeline. And in gleaning, Ruth not only provided for herself, above all, she was helping someone who in herself was unable to go out into the field. Naomi, her mother-in-law, was an old woman. She was dependent upon Ruth. If Ruth did not go to glean, what hope would there be for her mother-in-law? And you know, that's how it is in the spiritual as well. I know that salvation's of the Lord. I know that the Lord is a sovereign God who has no need of any of us. But the Lord has called men and women, young people as well, to be witnesses for Himself. He might have sent the angels to spread the message of the gospel. He might have raised up the animals to preach the message of the gospel. After all, He spoke through Balaam's donkey. The Lord might have raised up the stones to spread the message of the gospel. But He hasn't. He's called you and I. And there's nothing greater that we can do with ourselves than to go into the field and tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we hear people complaining, oh, things aren't what they used to be. People no longer come to the meetings. They're no longer getting saved the way that people used to get saved years ago. Maybe that's because God's people don't glean as hard as they used to. Maybe we've lost the art of praying. Maybe we've lost something of the art of getting before God and pleading with God on behalf of others. Mr. Spurgeon said when he was asked the secret of his success as a preacher, he said, the prayers of his congregation. The prayers of his congregation. May the Lord make us faithful gleaners in the place of prayer.
May the Lord make us faithful gleaners in telling men and women of Christ, the mighty to save. May the Lord make us faithful gleaners in whatever area He has called us to. You ask the Lord to make you a faithful witness for Him. In that little area of service that you have, it might be in the home. Maybe you're the only person saved in your home, in your family. Might be in the workplace, and it's hard to stand and difficult to tell others of Christ. You ask the Lord to make you faithful. Might be in school. You're the only Christian, or at university. You ask the Lord to make you faithful and to give you a concern for others who are lost in sin and cannot find their way.
Said of Murray McShane that on a Saturday afternoon, he was of the habit of visiting the sick and the dying. And he said he liked to look into the eyes of those who were near death before preaching in the pulpit on Sunday. He said he liked to look over the verge. And by that, he meant that he liked to look into the eyes and the gaunt faces of those who were slipping out into eternity, to rekindle the flame of love and compassion in his soul for those who were dying before he would preach on a Sunday. Tell me, have you looked over the verge lately? Have you gazed into the eyes of your nearest and your dearest without Christ? Has your heart been broken for them? You've thought about them slipping out into God's eternity, unready, unsaved, unprepared. You know, sometimes as God's people, we can allow our hearts to become hard. We can get our eyes off the real purpose of us being here. We can get our eyes onto other things or other people. And we can forget to a degree of those all around us on the road to a Christless eternity. Oh, bring your loved ones, bring them to Jesus. Bring every brother and sister to Him. When comes the reapers on with the harvest, may all our dear ones be safe gathered in. I trust that the Lord will soften our hearts in these days in which we live. I trust that the Lord will give us a concern for those around us. I trust that the Lord will come even today and give us a determination in our hearts to be faithful gleaners in the Lord's field, winners of men and women to Christ. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're on the road to hell. You're still not saved. Your friends are safe and secure. But you're a stranger. They haven't time to go down this chapter any further. But Ruth began her time in this field at a distance from Boaz. She didn't know him. She didn't know him. He was a stranger to her. They were at the distance of one from the other. And then in verse 5, Boaz asked the question, whose damsel is this? Whose damsel is this? In other words, he says, to whom does she belong? Maybe you're in this meeting this morning and your friends all belong to the Lord. To whom do you belong today? Who do you give allegiance to? Who is your Lord? Who's the King of your life? If it's not the Lord, then you know who it is. The devil himself. And maybe you sat in the harvest services this time last year. And you were spoken to. And you determined in your heart, oh, I'm going to have to do something about this. This Sunday morning, find you in the next harvest service. And you're a year nearer the grave and a year nearer hell, humanly speaking. You're still not saved.
You're still not saved. Unready. Unprepared. Yesterday, 2 weeks, I went to visit a lady. With this, I'll close. She'd taken some sort of a turn the day before in hospital. I'd seen her the day before. There was no response from her. I went on the Saturday morning, 10 o'clock or so, to the Ulster Hospital. There was nobody else in the room with her. I never even tried to disturb her. She was breathing heavily. It was plain to see that she wasn't long for this world. And I just sat for 10 or 15 minutes and, you know, I thought to myself, I'm glad that she's saved. I'm glad that she's ready. Because as a minister of the gospel, I would not like to have gone into that room to try to speak to that lady about her soul. She was too far gone. No response. My friend, don't leave it too late. Put your faith and your trust in Christ today. Don't leave it till tonight. Behold, now is the accepted time. May the Lord give you a concern for your own soul. May the Lord give God's people a concern for your soul and for the souls of others. And may the Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning for Jesus' sake. We'll bow in prayer, please.